You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. Starting off with my man Jay Moore, who's disrespecting the Pacers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm not disrespecting anyone.
Come on, man, is
an NBA fan and enjoys different gear.
Now you like Walt Clyde Frazier.
I mean, we are both Salukis. Okay. So, you know, okay. I'm showing right. him love in that way.
All right. Yeah. I'll take that. Up from the 36th chamber. You up from the dungeon. How are you, Lone? Welcome back, man.
Thanks, man.
How you feel, buddy?
I'm back.
You make it seem spending time with his wife is like, yeah, back
grown man business.
Dungeon.
Grown man business.
No, definitely not dungeon, man. We were out in the mountains and doing lots of cool, fun things. So
amongst foliage.
I have to show you guys some pictures. I show Mike some pictures, yes. But I have to show you some pictures because we had some good times. But
nice.
Looks beautiful, man. You took some good shots.
Yeah, I wish a month is not long enough, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're glad to have you back, man. We appreciate your tech support, overseas support.
Tried to keep the annoying level down as much as I could.
Come on, man. You came through in the clutch a couple moments, man. You were definitely needed, so we had to call tech support. So, my man DJ J Dib, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good your way?
Yes, sir.
Can I give you some flowers real quick? It's a little awkward.
Daffodils, roses.
Yeah, what are we doing here, man?
Listen, daisies, man. What are we? Yeah.
Y'all know I will hate. We know
that,
right?
Yeah.
Do we know that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why you say it so fast?
It's just the truth.
Yeah, okay.
I've been working on it, though.
Truth shall set you free.
But I saw Terry. Terry's nice on the grill, y'all. That boy got skills on the grill. I got to give him his flowers. I tried to play him. I was like, you don't know. You know how everybody goes through. You don't know what you're doing on that grill or blah, 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 blah. Brother knows what he's doing on the grill. So I see you, bro.
Thank you, man. I'm kind of perfecting my talents, you know.
Yeah. Presentation was fire. Yeah. You know?
Culinary arts are in high effect right now.
Yeah. You got skills, brother.
Thank you.
I had to give it up on that one. So
appreciate it.
Salute to you on that, my guy.
My guy.
DJ Academics had his live podcast stage and it bombed. There was a video of him with about 8 people in the crowd as he was interviewing someone.
I mean, that's freaking Academics.
But my question is, with a guy that's that popular, why would this happen?
So ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis.
Oh, it's very
simple as that.
First, you got to break this down for me because this dude is beyond popular.
He is.
But he's at the Roots Picnic.
It's a podcast at a...
They have podcast stages.
Yeah, but it's the Roots Picnic, right?
It's the Roots Picnic.
If it's a Lil Yachty... I think Lil Yachty Picnic... Or something that's more Gen Y or X. I don't know what letter we on now. Maybe, but like people who like the Roots don't really, they're not checking for Academics.
Somebody say that Uzi was performing around the time that he was on the stage, so maybe that pulled people away. But Uzi performing at the Roots Picnic, that's not his fan base. If it's
he's from Philly, though.
He is from Philly, but
and you got a song that's across the board huge.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. I didn't think about that.
And maybe this is just me as a consumer. Even though we do a podcast, I still haven't wrapped my mind around the appeal to live podcasts. Like if I was going to go to like a festival event and, you know, the New Old Heads were doing something, but then there was like live music over here. I don't know. I feel like the live music is
that
more
distracting.
I just feel like the live music is a little bit more interactive. It's a little bit more interactive. There's a little bit more to it than just people sitting around talking. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just demographic wise. But
do you all believe that if we were talking about sports, if you want to do an analogy, do you guys think that podcasters can get big enough to have stands like athletes or like artists where people, because I saw Rory and Maul had one and it was packed out there.
But was it?
I mean, 85 South show.
Theirs are packed. Theirs are packed.
But these are podcast shows, though. These are podcast tours, podcast festivals. This isn't like a festival with a podcast performing.
Yeah, stuck
on
the B stage. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be going to see a live podcast either at a concert. Now, if it was like a podcast convention, of course, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if they separate it during this portion of the night, there's going to be podcasts.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be live music. But you really can't compete with
live music.
A live music artist going on at the same time as you're trying to shoot your show.
Unless
they're featured on your show.
I mean, I remember back when A3C, when we performed a couple times and then we did like the media stuff there. they had specific days that were just dedicated to media and talk and interviews and stuff like that. So it would be like the Wednesday and Thursdays, and then maybe at the nights they would have like a little concert or something, but it was focused on that thing. So
I saw people dragging, you know, I'm not an academics fan by any means, but I saw people dragging him for the response, and I'm like, I'm kind of thinking about the dynamics. One, you guys make a great point about the roots, but it's live music and it's going on simultaneously with him being on stage. That's a lot. You know what I'm saying? To get people to hone in on just listening to him talk. So,
I mean, we've actually done something similar to this at Trice before.
We did.
You know, and
it, Orange.
But it was more so kind of live and then talking to artists as well.
Yeah. I mean, we did
so
have that.
So it wasn't just an official podcast.
But it was also made into an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just kind of a live thing.
I think Orange is a good comparison when because there was a lot of stuff going on around Orange when we were.
That's true. Orange was a little bit different because. But we were like placed in between like booths of like beer and other things. We weren't and right
it
was, next.
It's artsy. You know? I mean, it is
artsy.
People are coming to get an interactive access or experience.
Good point.
Versus it wasn't just music. You had, you know what I'm saying, all kind of stuff to indulge in.
Yeah.
Because people did stand around and were kind of watching us to kind of see what we were doing. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And plus the main stage was outside.
But did we have like a whole bunch of people standing listening to us talk for the entire two?
No.
They would come in segments. They would come listen for a little while and then go on. Yeah. Find something else to do.
That's what I mean. I feel like the retention is hard for those type of events. But
yeah.
I say that it's fun to clown on academics, and I'm perfectly fine doing that because he deserves all of that.
Facts.
But. I don't know. The fact that he had like seven people, it's funny. But,
it's very funny.
But I get it.
I can't really clown him. I'd love to, but the dynamics when we break it down, it's like, I give Ak a pass on this one. This is rare, but.
It's weird that he would even be booked for it, though.
For the roots?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I think
they
looked at his numbers and just thought that was going to translate on a universal level, and it doesn't always work like
that. We probably would have done better there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I initially thought, though, because you notice that when we opened, I talked about the numbers. I'm thinking this dude got 4 million subscribers on YouTube. I know he's everywhere. X amount of deals. And you just, in your mind, you think that translates. And you just think you can put that anywhere and it's going to translate. Right. But this proves that, you know, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and the thing is, the people who he might have ran into he might have ran into more people who said they were fans of the show than who actually came to see his podcast. You know, it's wild. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. Like in the last week, I've run into more people who have said, hey, I like your guys' show.
That's dope.
You know, there was just a guy on Saturday who came and I thought, man, you know, I don't take requests from dudes. He's like, hey, are you from the new Old Heads? Like in the middle of the set.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. He's like, hey, man, you guys do a great job. I listen to podcasts every week.
Nice.
Or I watch, because that's how he knew who I was.
Right.
You know, and then I ran into a couple people at Coaches on Tuesday who didn't know each other, but they knew who I was and what we do.
Really?
You know, and they were telling me things about the show and things they liked, the things they disagreed with as far as our takes, you know. But, you know, does that translate to them coming to watch us at an event where there's a concert?
Might not.
You know, it might not. You know, so shout out to
them. What artists are performing.
Yeah. Shout out to those people. And, you know, shout out to my man, Morris Thompson. I went to high school with him. It doesn't matter what I post on Facebook. Morris will always drop a like. So shout out to my
Morris,
man,
appreciate
Morris,
you, Morris
Thompson. I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, that's dope feedback, though, Jay Moore.
Yeah. It's just cool because, you know, you think. Because, of course, we look at the numbers and we see that most of our fans are not from where we live, you know. And then when you have people run up on you who don't know you, at first it's a little jarring just for people to come up to you like that. But then, like, you realize it comes from a genuine level of appreciation and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
When it's genuine, it makes it that much better. I'd have been smiling like that Sam Cassell meme I'd be sharing all the time when he'd be teasing. I'd have been cheesing.
I mean, think about it, though. I mean, we do reach about 80,000 people every week.
Talk to them, Lon.
So that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of those people, we don't know who they are. So
no.
It's like.
Salute to everybody that stopped Jay Moore and told him that they liked the show. We appreciate y'all.
Do we have any commentation from Freddie Gibbs is what he's called academics from this show flop? At all? Did you pull up any of that?
Vengeance is in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that
There's another one with a link though, Lon. I don't know what the link is.
Oh, it's so there's a picture of him and it just says, "Damn."
Oh, with a picture of the crowd.
A video of the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's literally like eight people.
I'm seeing it right now. There's like seven people. Wow.
Wow, they went to a lot of effort. It's not like this was just like in a...
The stage looked fire.
In a little room or something.
Yeah, the stage looks fire.
Oh. There's nobody. Yeah.
Wow. There's nobody there.
Yeah, well.
Oh, wow.
Looks like an empty infield.
Honestly, when you said we might draw more people than that, I think you're right.
I mean, we could at least got 10.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking about it like this.
We'd have got 10.
At our live show, we had more than that.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I think our demographic and the things that we talk about fits the Roots picnic 100%. Aspect a lot more than what academics does. So 100%. I feel like the people there would, even if they don't know us, they probably would gravitate and be interested in what we're talking about.
Yeah, so whoever is doing the booking for next year's Roots picnic, holler at us.
We'll send you some stickers. In fact,
maybe even a nice mug.
And you know what? That's why I keep stickers on me, because I'm like, oh man, I appreciate that. Here's some stickers.
We got some overseas stickers now.
I'm dropping stickers all over the place.
Oh yeah.
Passed out a whole bunch of them to my Spanish speaking friends.
I hope they do the research and come on home.
Yeah. If anybody ever ends up in Baños in Ecuador.
In where?
In Ecuador.
No, with the
Baños.
Okay,
Baños.
There we go.
Yeah. If you end up and you find the Baños sign, take a picture and
what does Baños mean?
Means bathroom, but I think that's like the holy water washing. I don't know. There's a whole thing.
Yeah, don't get the lion up here. There'd be some Spanish people.
Well, I mean,
true. Yeah, be careful.
Well, I mean, my wife is trying to explain it to me, and it was something along the lines of like, I was like, why is the name of the city bathroom? Was really my question. She's like, well, it means like, you know. I don't know, kind of what I said. Something with the holy water, and so it's not like bathroom.
Christian toilet water.
Exactly, something like that. All right. Somebody help us.
I'm going to say a phrase, new doesn't mean better. Now, we've had this conversation, mm-hmm. but I never saw it put like this. I had a clip, but it's disappeared. The guy says...
We know why you like this.
It's dope though how he did it. He says...
It's just like, real quick, last week... On the show I was watching, and you guys were talking about something, and Terry goes, it's kind of like the LeBron effect, and I could just see Mike's blood go.
I didn't.
Like, what do you mean by the LeBron effect?
I didn't do that.
You did.
The camera wasn't even on you, but I knew exactly what.
Oh, you couldn't see me.
He got giddy, man.
Because it was like, you waited, but they were like, what do you
tell
mean?
Tell me more. Let us speak about LeBron.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway, sorry. Back to you.
No, you good. That's a fair. Hey, you wrong for getting him started, man. So we've always talked about the, new or old or what doesn't mean better. But this is a great comparison. It says, if that's the case, if new doesn't mean better, LeBron's shoes versus Jordan's shoes. The technology on LeBron's shoes are better. Everything is advanced. But people still run back to Jordan's. They're still the number one seller. So can this concept be applied to hip hop? Because... He says quality has always been the number one thing. It's about quality. So with the Jordan shoes, they're older, still got good quality. It's higher quality. So even with the music, some of the older music, it just has better quality. This is this guy's argument I saw in the video. It's an interesting comparison because LeBron has all the bells and whistles, but people say the quality of the Jordans are just better.
I mean, when you remove the technology, that's the key word in that.
Mm-hmm.
You're left with the shell of a shoe.
Right.
The Jordan brand is just that shoe. Like, everybody had to have Jordans, when you was a kid. And it just continued to transcend and never stopped, even though the soles may not be as comfortable as LeBron shoe, or it looks nice, a really nice looking shoe, up to a certain number. So we ain't about to just say all Jordans are really nice looking shoes.
That's true. But the way he's trying to apply it is he's saying it's always been about quality. So the older music, it might be older, but the quality is higher. He said that doesn't mean that just because you're older and you're hating on the newer quality of the new technology.
So I was going to tie that in too, because as far as new technology with new music, as we know, there's a lot of people that can produce and do everything they can right in the comfort of their own home. And it will still sound better than a lot of mixes that were made back in the day. But we're only talking about the technology that goes into that music. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the feeling that music gives you. So you can do, and I'm not taking anything away from anybody new, because there are new artists that still give me that same feeling.
Agreed.
But when you remove the technology from it, if we're talking about music nowadays, how many people will be able to do it? If we're talking about technology. because they would have to learn how to use an MP. They would have to actually learn how to play instruments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Understand mm-hmm. some theory.
Theory. Yep. Actually write their own stuff because they, I mean.
Shorter sample
and
time.
And be able to perform it.
And be able to perform it. So
yep.
when you remove a lot of those things, I mean, it puts it in.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good comparison.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, no, what you're saying, I agree with what you're saying. But what I'm talking about the original thing where you can't compare shoes and technology to like a subjective art.
Ah.
And it doesn't like, because he's talking about, yeah, okay, if you say that LeBron shoes are better for your feet because they're more advanced and you're not going to hurt yourself. All right, that's not a good comparison to a subjective art. If you're saying Jordan's as far as like the subjectivity of the style,
still outselling. Okay. Still outselling.
Okay, that's one thing. But when you get into like, I don't know, I guess I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. I would say because, yes, there's older material that's really good that's held up through time.
Yes.
There's newer material that's coming out every day that's also really good. But I don't think one necessarily means the other either way. So I don't necessarily think he's wrong. I just don't think that it's a valid type of argument.
What do you say to the idea of quality always being the number one goal, and that he's actually his main point was, we're not hating when we say we don't like something new because they have all the new technology and things have changed. And you hear people complain about that. At the end of the day, it's about the quality. Sometimes people don't look at it that way. I've always been a quality person. There are some yeah. people that don't care about quality.
No,
quality
for sure.
can be subjective.
Quality is subjective.
It is.
And we also have to think about what lens are we looking at this through? Are we looking at this from a, I'm not trying to bring capitalism up, right? But if we're talking about it from that subject, from that object, right. I guess, of saying, you know, what are we basing what we consider quality off of? It? You know, what is our definition of quality? Is it, well, this is quality because a lot of people like it, or is this quality because of these seven things that I have determined what quality is in my head? You know, like, which we all have. We all have this thing in our head that kind of dictates what we think something is quality as, but it changes depending on who the person is.
It does.
I don't know. I feel like it's...
Well, the Jordan brand is still the number one selling shoe.
And that's fine.
And when they talk about... kind of threw me off when he talked about the technology, because the Jordans that were built back then, I mean, they
still made your feet bleed somehow.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So let's not... Yeah.
But it goes into what Lone talks about the other things that are outside of the actual product that influence it. Terry talked about the brand. The brand is unbeatable.
But so, also, that's branding.
Yes.
You know,
so cultural impact.
And plus, you know, this is the thing. You know, there are people our age who are always going to say, well, this is better. I don't know. You know, I still think Jordan's, you know, they're because it was the first of its kind, really, to where it was. And it's still an aspirational situation to where if you got a little money and you think you're doing it a little bit, you want to get yourself a pair or several pair of Jordans. And that's cool. And for whatever, as far as basketball shoes are concerned, like shout out to my man DJ 2Deep. He had on a pair of LeBrons one time. I don't know what number they were, but these were the most beautiful, most comfortable looking shoes I had ever seen in my life. But of course it doesn't matter to people who don't see, who don't feel like, okay, if I wear these shoes or is anybody going to ask me about them?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, I take into the realm of somebody who runs a, you know, a bar. One of the things that is aspirational to this day, even though I don't think the quality is there all the time, is Hennessy. Hennessy, that is like people's first, when they first get out in the world, and they think they're doing it a little bit. Yeah, let me get some shots of Hennessy. Let me get a Hen and Coke. Now, Douce is actually better, and it's around the same price point.
Subjective.
But it's only been around for you know, there's not the same... Look, there's not the same look as far as the aspirational aspect of people having that poured as opposed to Hennessy. So like Jordan as a brand has been around for so long. It is so well established that it doesn't matter. Say they put out some Jordans that are retros or whatever, and they skip on the quality. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
David Peck corrected me too here. He said, I saw the clip. He said, because I know the technology was in there, but he said it's a little more, it makes a little more sense, and I hate they deleted it. He said he was talking more about the cultural impact as well,
That's also where I'm talking about, the cultural impact. It was the first of its kind, and, you know, just like you, and you could apply it to anybody's shoes, the Kyrie, but you know what, I was talking,
thank you.
I was talking to somebody who's got like a 9-year-old.
Thank you.
And they were all, they wanted, you know, this was a few years ago, they wanted the Kyries. They didn't care nothing about Jordans. You know, it doesn't matter.
Now, until.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not talking about a few years ago.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then I had another friend who what they wanted for Christmas was the KD slides. That was bigger to them than any pair of Jordans you could have got them.
Yeah.
You know, and so once again, we're talking about things that are subjective.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we speak from a place of what we remember, what we have nostalgia about, and what we think are quality. Like you talked, like you could, we might get a whole another bunch of answers. We talked to some kids 12 to 17. Maybe not. But a lot of times we get into our new old heads bag.
Yeah.
And we just automatically, since we've been around the block, since we've seen so much more, we just automatically think that we're right. And I get it, because to me, yeah, I am right.
I ain't going to hold you.
They want them J's.
I ain't going to hold you.
No, they still want them now. But at the same time, a lot of that market is people who are our age who can afford to buy 3 and 4 pairs at the same time.
I ain't going to hold you. Mike, I don't think Mike the GOAT from a basketball standpoint, but it is no debate from a shoe
from
and apparel
a marketing
standpoint. It's not even close.
Who still eat at McDonald's knowing they shouldn't be eating at McDonald's.
But if we keep
because
this,
of Mike.
But if we keep this comparison going, you know, you're talking about, again, talking about cultural impact versus the quality of what that actually is. Are we saying that the new Michael Jordans or the old Michael Jordans are better quality shoes?
From
you know what I mean? So if we translate that
design
over.
Design wise.
Yes.
Not from technology.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So to me, that comparison would be similar to like, okay, is how Rakim wrote his rhymes in comparison to how Lil Uzi Vert writes his rhymes. You know what I mean? That's that kind of comparison. But my argument to that would be, well, there are still newer rappers out here that rap like Rakim.
Or better.
You know what I mean? And there were probably rappers that rapped as bad. Let me not say that Lil Uzi Vert is bad. Let me just, I don't know. Krayshawn, whatever. Let's just say somebody that doesn't take time to really perfect their pocket and stance of rapping, whatever that is. We had those back then too.
Yeah,
we did. I mean? Just like with Eminem, the whole Eminem debate. There is no way you can say he can't rap. The way he puts words and things together.
From a technical standpoint.
He's very freaking good.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear somebody that technical all the time?
It depends on the person, right? Some people really think that is what makes it. That's the thing.
Oh, we see them.
Which goes into our subjective conversation we're having, right? Some people really think that they think that is really, really good. You know, they do. But they do. People really are, just like Tech N9ne, just like the whole, what is Tech N9ne's label? Strange
Music.
Strange Music, yeah.
All those guys rap like that, and I can't get into it. I mean, they're super technical. They rap really fast. Immortal Technique is very much like that too. Yes, Nicole. But it's like, they're talented. They're good, but like, they appeal to a specific type of demographic that really care about the technical aspect more about anything else.
Because I would rather listen to Big Crit or
I would too,
or UGK for that matter. A-Ball MJG even.
Yeah.
But you know what we do a lot of times, especially when we're having certain arguments like this, when we get into music, we compare somebody who was the best from an era that we thought was fantastic. Like we'll say, Rakim is so much better than Young Drug Addict. You know, like I had to make somebody up. I didn't want to insult anybody.
Drug Addict sucks.
You know, but like because we didn't think Young Fentanyl was is a good rapper, and there's no way you could say he's better than Rakim. That's what we do, but we don't like to line up somebody from the era we came from against somebody who is just proficient lyrically or
that's
even from a production standpoint as who's out.
I think
now.
We do. Personally,
but
we
think
do.
When people have all these arguments online, they always want to hold up like, yeah, there's no way you could put a Tribe Called Quest up against Young School Shooters. Like, I don't know why you would put somebody's at the top of their game from our era as somebody who you know is just hacks. You don't want to put them against a group who's really doing it right now.
I think a lot of it is just like, it's like this interesting dichotomy of people that don't know any better. And it just it's like this. I think it's like a combination effect. It's like we hear something like that and we know that it's so ridiculous that we feel like we have to respond to it, even though we should just let it go.
Right.
Mm. And then it becomes a thing when it really, we should not, nobody cares about the young school shooters. They suck. You know, like we don't have to validate Tribe. They're solidified. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think good a lot point. Of time it's like this weird back and forth where it's like, no, you should know better. And it's just like, man.
It kind of comes from a place of we were fortunate to grow up in an era that we did.
Yeah.
So we like to put it on such a high pinnacle and say such and such they can't understand. It's kind of like on White Men Can't Jump when he told, oh boy, you don't understand, Jimmy. You just hear, Jim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Said I like to listen to it, man.
No. There's a difference between hearing and listening.
Yeah, you can't hear Jimmy.
It's almost like we're telling people that may even be interested in listening to the older artists, you can't really feel them like that. You just hear it. You don't feel it, though.
But isn't there kind of a truth to that, though? Because, like, especially when we talk about like the nostalgia aspect of music, everything is really tied to where we were when we listened to it.
A younger
artist can't go back and be where we were when we witnessed that and how the culture of the life was when we heard that stuff. It's just like if I go back and listen to stuff that I missed,
right?
I missed that wave.
But I can still feel a certain energy from that music. Older music that I wasn't around to experience in real time and still be like, this right here is ill.
I do it all the time.
Like Stevie Wonder is like my favorite R&B artist. Most of his albums that came out that are my favorite, I wasn't alive, but I can still go back and listen to him and feel a certain type of way. Same way with like Parliament Funkadelic. I wasn't around for that.
But I
can feel it. I might not feel it the same way they did because they might have been there getting high listening to it. So I'm not going to feel it like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I still...
The quality transcends.
Yeah.
Like certain records and certain artists, especially with Stevie, like the quality transcends. It does. Like I can appreciate the quality of records that were made before I was born.
But let me
because the quality transcends to me.
The reason why you feel that way is because of who you are and the people around you and your appreciation for a certain type of music and how you grew up. And all the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that both of you guys had an appreciation of Stevie Wonder and Parliament Funkadelic even before you listened to them based upon people in your life.
Our surroundings.
That's what I mean, right? Or am I wrong? I mean,
sometimes hip hop led me to listen to these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that influence from hip hop made me reach out and be like, oh, I get it.
So you got there naturally, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at.
Right,
you know, like it wasn't like somebody saying, Parliament's the best group in the history of the world.
Nah, wasn't that? Yeah. Nah.
And you need to listen to it. If you don't agree that this hip hop stuff is trash, you know what I mean? Like,
but to your point though, as it relates to your surroundings, I also know that I was around certain music that I heard as a child that influenced my ears. I heard my mama playing Al Green and stuff like that. So when I hear those records now, it's twofold. The music is dope, but it also has the nostalgia point that takes me back to a certain area. But I can separate the two. Yeah, I can separate the two, though, because the records are fire.
No, for sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like there might just be a little interesting thing that happens if we're, like, I feel like just the same argument you were talking about, like, we came up in the 90s, and, you know, we know what it's good, but, you know, we may think that our era of the 90s is better than the 80s, but the people that grew up in the 80s are possibly gonna say the same thing. You know, like I feel like there is, you know, like,
but like with me, like I want to hear somebody young come up through the ranks.
There it is.
And give me some dope stuff. That's why every week I'm listening to something.
Right.
Trying to be like, oh damn, this dude got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm always looking for that spark. It's not like I'm just stuck in that what we had is so much better because there's stuff that I've heard since I've been grown, it's better than a lot of stuff I was vibing to when I was a kid.
I get excited, you know, when I hear a new artist is dope or somebody puts me on to somebody. I get excited.
We all do.
Yeah.
But you know, like when I watched, I'm not sure if you guys ever saw the documentary, The Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a part where like they had Grandmaster Melly Mel and Scorpio and Curtis Blow. And like, they were like, man, you know, these new dudes don't know how to perform. You know, they'd never seen 100 people or 1,000 people. And it's like, wow, That's some of this, just like I talked about how we need to start booing people off a stage.
Yep.
That's kind of the conversation they were having in 1995. That's when the movie came out. They were
probably, even in the 80s, they too. Because Houdini had used to say the same thing about artists.
Yeah, so they probably produced it in 93, 94. But they're talking literally about the artists that we revere.
Yes.
You know, so.
Good point.
You know, it's just everything is cyclical. Music marks time. And I think these are great conversations to have, but we also, we can't be those cultural gatekeepers. Right. We just have to have the conversations and realize that, things change, but we can recognize quality, but quality is subjective.
For sure.
It definitely is.
And to Nicole's point, that's actually literally what I was going to say. It was that, like to Terry's point, what you guys were saying, what I look for when I listen to newer artists specifically, I'm not looking for somebody to recreate Outkast. I'm not looking for somebody to recreate. I'm looking for the feeling the first time I heard M Rainbows by Radiohead, or the first time that I heard Little Dragon. It was something that was different. It was transcendental. It was like something that was new, is unique. I don't need a new version of Rakim.
Right.
Almost turns me off.
No, for sure.
Agreed.
So
I like that point. I like that point. That's a good point, because when it's new and it's fresh, that's like a double whammy for me. It's new and it's fresh. It's different. I haven't heard anything like it. That's like finding Waldo.
And I don't know if you do this, but as an artist, what I tell people is like the stuff that impresses me is when I hear somebody do something and I think to myself, man, I wish I would have thought of that first. Or I wish I would have done that first.
There it is.
And that for me, that's what it is. And if I hear something like that, I'm like, ooh, okay. Mm.
Producers, like just from a production standpoint, when I see producers or I see videos of someone editing or chopping or, Gene Brown beat battle or whatever it is, when you see people up there performing, and it makes me start to itch from a standpoint of, I don't even know how he put that together. I got to get in the lab. Those moments are the moments that we live for, because I'm actually inspired. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, and it makes me want to go back and sit down and plug in.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a dope feeling to me. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be inspired by people.
And also, y'all please do not Google Young School Shooters. I made that group up because I didn't want to insult anybody that's new out here. I don't know what's going to come up on your
low key. You still kind of did.
Yeah.
You kind of associated.
Okay. Yeah, I did. But don't look that up on your computer. It's going to be like that meme of Lisa Simpson where they come up and be like, all right, I don't need you to log on.
Actually, it is a group. Just make sure when you go into Google, you type Young School Shooters, where to buy AR-15s is the name.
Wow.
That's the name of the album.
Damn. Wow.
Might be actual factual.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I see where you were going, though. Yeah. I see where you're going.
Somebody be like, ooh, somebody's going to listen. Young School Shooters.
It sounds about on par.
Yeah. Lil Fentanyl. Let's go ahead and get it.
Lil Fentanyl is even, that's better. Lil Fentanyl is even better. Yeah, I like that one better.
There's just somebody who's like, oh, that's ridiculous. I was like, oh, in a world where there's a rapper named Lil Xan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Or
Players Club.
Players Club. You remember that scene long in Players Club?
No, I don't
you
remember that.
He doesn't.
I just asked. He might have.
I'm white.
Yeah, you don't have
look
to
look how
say.
White I am.
Yeah, you got a white hood on.
Actually, I had.
Oh, he didn't need to go there with it.
But I didn't know. I'm not. I didn't. I ain't where I was going. Don't do it. You can try to.
Boom.
He tried to put it on.
He did.
TYNT.
No.
Just trying to play into the brand you're pushing out there.
Hey, man.
Yo, you didn't have to try to put it on.
This is too merch.
Too merch.
Hey, man. It's just
music. Shout out to merch.
It's a hoodie, man. It's not a hood.
Well, of course not. You know.
All right. Well, man.
Shout out to Glorilla.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We love each other here, man. It's all love. All right.
I'm just trying to create tears.
I feel you. Speaking of nostalgia, we talked about nostalgia. Just a random question. Be curious to see what you gentlemen say. I need you to name some of your all-time favorite or most impactful moments.
It's the debut of UMTV Raps on MTV. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing, who I was with, and the fact that it was only supposed to be a one-off.
Yep.
and they were going to do Yom TV raps. It was, you know, and they had like a live remote from a Run DMC concert where like LL and Jazzy Jeff, they were all there together. It was a big deal. And they didn't plan on playing it ever again. But the phone lines lit up, and it became the highest rating thing MTV had ran outside of an award show.
Dang, you did your research.
Oh, yeah. And so there was like, hey, can we get this to be a weekly show immediately? And then, you know, they're like, okay, we'll give you 30 minutes once a week on Saturdays. It would come on in the morning, and they'd run the same 30-minute segment 12 hours later that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, we're still getting the highest ratings we get during the entire week. We don't want to give too much to hip hop, so we'll go ahead and let it be an hour. So we'll give an hour Saturday morning, you know, repeat the same episode that night. And it's like, still the highest rated thing we've got on this entire network.
Word.
Let's go ahead and put it on during the day. Of course, we started off at 30 minutes. And you're like, okay, we have to do an hour. So then it literally went from a one-time thing. Because they thought, you know, this is before rap was at the Grammys.
Yeah.
This is before even black radio would play hip hop during the day. You know, so you youngsters out there are listening, you're very spoiled. There was a time where, like, you had to wait up late to hear some hip hop and they might let one song go off a day and you were happy to have it. And you even BET did not play rap music on a regular basis. And so I think that was a big shift in the culture because, you know, Ralph McDaniels talked about how maybe 6 months to a year before he wanted to bring, you know, a version of Video Music Box to MTV. And they said, no, I mean, they said it's a regional thing. You know, we can't really do it right now. It's not, you know, but then Ralph was like, do you see the numbers these guys are doing when they go across the country? They just weren't convinced, you know, but as soon as like. And unfortunately, this is capitalism. This is race in America.
Capitalism.
You know, when Ted Demme brings him basically the same idea, he's like, let's give it a shot. God bless Ted Demme. You know, he's no longer with us. Or is it? No, it's because Jonathan's his brother is the one who did.
Mr. Demme.
Yeah. So but that's really a turning point in where hip hop becomes a cultural phenomenon in this country to where you couldn't deny it because they was doing numbers in Iowa, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Nebraska.
The same
numbers it was doing in, you know, New York and Connecticut and New Jersey. It was doing all across the world. Hip hop couldn't be denied any longer.
Was it a good thing?
I would say it's a good thing. It was at the right time, you know, because it was when you were introducing groups like, you know, of course, this is the rose colored glasses, you know, because you get to see Public Enemy off a Nation of Millions. You're seeing Follow the Leader by Rakim. You're seeing My Philosophy by Big, you know, they were. Look, I even though I'm definitely not a vegetarian, I will mess up a hamburger or chicken sandwich when I feel like it. I had never been introduced to the idea of vegetarianism until I heard KRS-One.
I remember you saying that before.
You know, I had never, there was, you know, of course, they don't teach about Malcolm X in school.
True.
I had never been introduced to a certain level or even exposed to a certain of black nationalism. You know, they taught us all about Martin Luther King, but they didn't tell us nothing about Malcolm X. So I was starting to ask questions and wanting to know things culturally outside of the music because I heard Chuck D talk about him because I heard, you know, I wanted,
he was very impactful.
You know, I wanted to know, it shunned a certain, you know, narrative, you know, this is the height of the crack era. The dope dealer was shunned. Drug use was shunned, you know? So at that point, even the more hardcore stuff was still pretty positive. So I think it was the right time for the music to go global, or at least national, if you will, at that time. So I say it's a good thing.
Fight the Power is one of my favorite videos ever. To go to your point.
But the thing is, I think that first made the episode is when they played Night of the Living Bass Heads. Mm. Changed my life.
Yeah. No, that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, that's a good story.
For me, it was a rap. The one I can remember is Rap City, seeing the first Wu-Tang video, chess boxing video with the, obviously the chessboard and everything. And I wasn't too hip. And when I saw that, and then they followed up with Cream, like that became like my go-to group. And I was strapped in, backpacked out from that point on in terms of just grimy hip hop. And that's when I started paying attention to production with RZA. is when I started watching that, and because the sample for Cream was so cold, and you remember how it came on with the singing in the beginning and all that, that got me hype about doing research about beats and production and like what did he pull that from and where did he get it. That's when I started reading the liner notes and the credits and looking for samples and who played what. Like that was a huge moment for me. I remember when that video premiered, and I'm like, who are these dudes? And then it continued with, you know, as it continued with Cuban Links and Ice Cream video was fly, all that type of stuff. I have huge memories from that, man, that era, because it just messed me up. Like, I was a super fan from that point on.
Messed you up.
In a good way. Right. In a good way. This inspired me, man, like, from especially from a production standpoint. Like, that's why RZA is one of my all-time favorites. It's that good RZA alone. I don't know.
It is, though.
About the beat demo RZA on that video. I don't know about that. But that RZA right there, huge inspiration, man. I'll never forget.
Yeah, you can't take that away from him.
When I first saw that video premiere, man, it messed me up for sure. In a good way.
I'm just keep it simple. The album cover to Easy Does It.
Nice.
When he had on the cement Jordans with the cement outfit. I knew one day I had to have that outfit and those shoes. That was a turning point in my life.
Cultural.
The end.
Fresh, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
I mean, there was plenty of other ones, but I still remember that album cover vividly and me wanting that outfit.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Anything stand out to you, Lone?
I feel like I've mentioned it before, but
I got one with you. Actually.
I mean, the Respiration video for Black Star followed up. It was on BT. I think it was the Basement or something. But the song that followed it was Inspector Dex Word on the Street, and it was two songs in a row. And I wasn't super into hip hop then, like at all. I was just kind of experimenting. That kind of turned me into wanting to want more. That's what did that. But I think, like, as far as impactful moments and time.
Outside of a personal experience.
Yeah, outside of the personal experience, I would say, I don't know, man, the internet. You know, it's like the internet, Napster, for all the bad that it did, you could say that it did for the music industry, it also kind of did some good in the sense of it forced the music industry to change a little bit.
Yeah.
And every single time that technology hits, I feel like it's a moment for the people to kind of, like, take some jabs at the music industry a little bit and try to loosen their grip on everything. You know, it was kind of a wild time for a while. When the internet came out, I mean, Napster and all that stuff, yeah, it definitely saved money. But at the same time, it really allowed me to be able to just endlessly research, even though I didn't have like a ridiculous amount of money to go out and buy a ridiculous amount of CDs. It was like, cool, I can. Cool.
You did. All you needed was a penny.
I had that too. But
Napster killed Columbia House.
Yeah, but at the same time, it still took like a while for the CDs to get to you.
Longer than it should, actually.
Well, for free, I don't know. But
you wouldn't pay him but a penny. How can you complain?
I don't even think I
ever paid a penny. Let me shut up. You're right. Beggars can't be choosers. You're right.
But you know, that was like the start of me. You know, like the file sharing era. I was like, cool. And I'm sure there are a lot of people like me where it was like, all right, cool. I would learn about one artist. I would look up their catalog. I would listen to all their music and I'd be like, cool, this one's featuring this person. Ooh, this one's produced by this person. Oh, I really like this beat. Cool. Let me look up this producer. And then you get introduced to some other people and then you download their music and then you find somebody that's featured on something. And it's like, oh, these dudes are dope. You know, it's like early on for me, it was like a lot of like megahertz type stuff or like think Cage, Copyright, the, you know, Mr. Eon, you know, those type of people. Then that got into somehow I made my way out west, you know, and then I found out about the Living Legends and, you know, like the Evidences and the Dilated Peoples and, you know, the San Diego scene, Mr. Deep Rooted, Mr. 80 and Joe Haas, who's went on to work with Exile a lot. And, you know, it was just like this spiral. And I feel like there's a lot of people that probably can relate to my path of coming into it a little bit later.
Yeah.
But then like being able to just navigate everything, you know, like online, it was just like, it was at my fingertips. You know
what I mean? However, remember being one of the outcasts as far as my musical taste in the neighborhood, because everybody was into this type of music. But me and my friends, we were into that type of music and all of these types of music, too. So it's kind of like, why do y'all listen to that kind of rap? That rap is whack. That don't sound right. How can you understand that? You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. So it's funny to see how those conversations evolved into those same people that were saying that gravitated towards listening to the same style of stuff that I was listening to back then. and pretty much being like, hey, that stuff was dope, man. I just didn't, it just wasn't the end thing to listen to back then. You know, yeah. I remember listening to Outkast, the group, before anybody was really messing with them.
I had a group of homies that, that were the exact same way to what you described. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the internet kind of, I think, allowed me to do was before. It was just like you had, you got all your music from BET or MTV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the shows, and it was curated, right? Or the radio.
Or the radio.
I was lucky enough to have a record store in my neighborhood, too. So
yeah. That's dope.
But even still then, like with the internet, it's like at, everything went, started coming really fast.
Yep.
It's like I can develop my own taste that is my own taste, mm-hmm. not influenced by anybody.
Yeah.
And then, point. You know, it's just like, cool. I still have my hard drive of all these, you know, like I still have it. So.
Oh, you used to put it in work. I know.
Yeah, I still have it.
But I used to listen or watch Rap City or Ed Lover and
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
And
listen to those songs and then walk to the record store and buy it if I liked it.
That now, that had to be a good
and that's back when you could buy a single.
Yeah.
So you could buy a single and get multiple versions of that same song, instrumentals and a B-side.
Only single, I've ever bought is Cher Chez La Ghost.
That's the only single you've ever bought?
Yeah, and it was the clean edited version.
Dang, for some I used reason. To have more singles than anything.
Yeah, the single game used to be like, I remember going to
the store singles.
And getting, because it was when Bad Boys first getting started, like, so you could get, Craig Mack Flavor in Your Ear, and you could also buy Biggie Smalls Juicy, and I think they had them for like, big orange sticker, $1.99.
Yep.
You know, and so I was like, well, I can get both of them for $4. Let's go.
Yeah.
Cardboard slide case.
The maxi single
the
era.
But then, like, you know, sometimes when it would be the maxi single, but it was a CD, you might really get some nice bonuses.
Might have an acapella on there. I don't know what I was going to do with it.
You get all kind of stuff on there.
Remix.
I remember buying the Outkast Elevators.
Yes.
It had a remix on it, had an instrumental and the original on there.
Sometimes they'd be priced crazy. I remember when Nas is like, and the B-side was Dr. Knockboot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll wait till the album comes out. And I remember they pushed that album back like a month. And I was like, do I want to drop like $6.99 on these two songs when I know I'm only going to pay $11.99 for the album?
That's what I was getting ready to say. I've definitely been frugal my entire life. So when I look at singles, it seems like a waste of money because I can just wait till the...
So I would go on like this one hip-hop site. I can't remember. I just remember one of the writer's name. His name was War and Peace.
Shouts to War and Peace.
Yeah, I would listen to like the, I guess with like real audio player or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would just listen to Nas's like on there when I wanted to hear it,
mm-hmm.
or I'd wait for somebody to request it on the box.
I had a box full of singles. I'm talking about.
Yeah,
they were so cheap, man. Like you,
I
go,
used to love singles.
I used to love. I couldn't wait. I never
was in that wave. My version of singles was really just downloading the songs.
Yeah.
But Nicole said I used to tape it on my TV VCR combo. I used to record music videos.
I used to record music off the radio. I wish I still had those tapes.
Yep. Yeah, I used to make those dubs too.
And you get upset. Nicole, you balling? I see you had a TV VCR. Okay.
I think to David's point, you know, he said as a DJ I miss singles, and he said get your remixes, instrumental, a cappella. I think
all of it.
That needs to come back, man. Like,
you think so?
Because some of that stuff's not even available for streaming.
I do. I do think so. I think
they do. I will give, I'm not gonna shout them out individually, but some of the DJ pools actually do have a cappellas and instrumentals.
That's good to know.
And dirty versions of these songs. So
that's good to know.
I mean,
it's still not the same. It's not that same feeling when we talk about nostalgia,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Scent memory type things of going to the store and buying a single and getting, you know what I'm saying, the remixes and all that stuff on it. But different day and time.
My type of nostalgia is, you know, hearing about music and bootlegging it.
Look, I'm not going to lie. When I went to when St. Louis tried to do its own version of the Black Expo, which, you know, it just wasn't it. I remember going down there and one of the brothers who had it was definitely English was a second language for him. He was like, yeah, you can get these three tapes for $10. I was like, that seems like a deal.
Yeah, sure it was a deal.
Yeah, really? But I mean, like when you listen, as soon as the tape come on, there's like a loud hiss. It doesn't matter what kind of noise reduction.
He said a loud hiss.
And you're like, wait a minute, I can't look at the liner notes in this. Because there were none. Because this dude did it at home on his color printer. And, you know, the writing on the tape would wear off real easy.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying.
I got lucky. This was spring of 98.
Okay.
Goody Mob had just dropped still standing. Yep. Well, actually, they didn't drop it. I happened to be in Atlanta at the time.
But you got it.
And I got it. The record store was selling it like 3 weeks before it came out. Wouldn't give me the case. He gave me the actual CD, though.
He wouldn't give me the case.
It was the actual CD. But
he tried to scan that same case.
Yeah, he wouldn't give me the case. He was like, I'll give you the CD. You can't say where you got it from.
Yeah.
It'll be $20. Here's $20. I'll take it.
Well, you felt exclusive.
Man, I got back home. I'm like, I'm the only one here that has this album.
In the whole city. I'm the only one that has it.
That was a good feeling.
I know it was.
I remember I tried to do that at this spot called Discount Den in Carbondale, Illinois, because they had the Love Movement and were playing it in the store. And it got to the end and I heard it had those remixes on it. Like the remix to Scenario with Kid Hood on it. And like at that point, there was no way really for you to get that unless you had it on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, can I get that? They're like, no, we can't break the street date. And I offered $20. They're like, we can't do it. So shout out to the dude who went ahead and sold you the CD.
Yeah, he's the GOAT.
Like a real one.
Yeah, he's the GOAT.
I loved it.
They were not as cool at the Discount Den.
Nah, man. Shout out to homie because he was jeopardizing his paper by giving time. That out. All right, so speaking of the Elders, I got a comment, man. I think the Elders are hypocrites in hip hop. Tell you why.
Ooh.
See Ross and Envy going back and forth about this car show. Car show was fire, by the way, from what I see from the footage from what Ross does on his estate. But the way they're dissing each other and bringing families into it and all that, it strikes me as something for clout. It looks corny. And we always hear older artists, what's the first thing they say? The youngsters are corny. Everything y'all do is about clout chasing. We see all of the Elders looking down on youngsters. I hear it a lot. Sometimes as OGs, I think you have to be held accountable for certain things that you do. To me, this looks bad. It looks corny to me. Like, I don't think nobody benefits from this. I don't know if y'all have been following it like I have, but some of the stuff that they're saying back and forth is just unnecessary. And I feel like
this is DJ Envy and Rick Ross?
Rick Ross, yeah, because they're both car enthusiasts. Like, they have car shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say, like, where's the accountability for some of the OGs? Because this is corny to me. Am I wrong when I say that? Jay Moore, I'll come to you first.
I mean, it's all corny. You know, it's like, especially, look, I don't have a lot of time for rich people problems. You know, I got real problems. So, you know, my car show versus your car show. And I'm going to talk about, you know,
your family, your daughters, your sons.
I mean, but this is the thing. Also, you have to be in a position. If you want to be in a position to show leadership, you have to really bring this stuff and bring it to a boil, or don't put it on social media in your radio show. Mm-hmm. Like, the culture doesn't need it. If we can't even look and say, hey, you know, to the youngsters, say, hey, y'all calm down. It's like, well, look what y'all in here doing. You over here arguing.
That's
over,
my point.
Y'all are millionaires and you're just as petty as us. And we're 19 years
old. That's why they doing it, though.
Know better.
That's why they doing it, though, because they got money in their board and they have platforms they can use to do it with. Essentially, all it was promotion for both of their brands. So if anything, they can be in cahoots with each other. Let's do this back and forth mantra and get everybody all up in arms and paying attention to us. You're going to get money. I'm going to get money. And they're going to think this is Bob brewing between us. And really, we on the same squad.
You're old enough to see that and see, okay, what this could be behind the scenes. Some people are just not that smart and they'll take it seriously.
They're not.
My thing is, you can't.
Ain't nobody die.
And, well, ain't nobody. You're right. But what I'm saying is that's cool, but you can't. We'll see people that will talk about the younger generation doing the same thing and talk down on it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's goofy. In the same token, so they're doing that with car shows.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather see somebody doing that stuff with car shows, which ain't necessarily entertaining to me,
mm-hmm.
them going back and forth about that, then talking about I'm about to slide on my ops and you better not say nothing about me this way and that
smoking
way.
Smoking on this pack.
You know what I'm saying? That I would rather that type energy than that type energy if I have to pick one. I'm just saying. Fair.
Let's just clarify. If Envy and Rick Ross see each other in the street, it's all going to be handshakes.
What
and
kind
hugs.
Of car you got now?
Yeah. It's not the same thing
nah.
as, you know, there are some rappers like, look, can you, I talked about this with somebody else. Remember, you know, for those of you who are old enough, we talked about Yom TV Raps when the video Self-Destruction and We're All in the Same Game were made. Like, there's no way they could do that now because there's just too many rappers who don't like each other for whatever reason.
And they all get money by themselves. They could care less about,
you know,
your
so if point. You try to do a Self-Destruction, We're All in the Same Game now, there'd be violence on the set. You know, unfortunately, and it wouldn't even be between the artists. It would be between artist crews and people who feel like they have something to prove. So
imagine O-Block being on the same video shoot.
No.
As that's beefing with Dirk right now.
Who?
Young boy. Imagine all of them being together.
It's to the point where I can't even like draw all this stuff together. I don't. Well, partially because I don't care.
There you go.
I don't care.
I love long.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Didn't even have to say it.
Yeah. You know.
Sometimes we talk just to be talking about certain things. Yeah. And Long brings it home when he says he doesn't care. He kind of speaks for everybody.
Yeah. It's just,
but we allow him that space. So go ahead.
I appreciate it.
We allow him that space.
And this is why I love my friends.
Yeah.
No, here's the only comment I have. How did DJ Envy become famous? Why do we care about him?
Because he's on a nationally syndicated show.
Before that, how did he get there? Why
he's
is he
put in? He
put working on a DJ scene.
No, because he's
has he?
Yeah,
he's and plus he's not, even before the Breakfast Club, he was on Hot 97.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
He was huge in the mixtape and
he came up under
DJ Clue.
DJ Clue,
and even before that, he has a long he's put in his work in the culture. I can't say he hasn't. I've been aware of who DJ Envy is for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
I've known of him for a very long time. I just don't know why I know of him.
He was a big club DJ in New York for a while.
Was
too.
It still is.
He's one of those people that, to Jay Moore's point, like his work is, he's where he is. He's earned that.
The most random thing is like,
mixtapes.
When I put together the video playlist, that was,
at least we know now.
This show is live.
Shout out to Ghostface, man.
Ghostface is being a ghost.
Yeah.
That's what Ghostface thinks of DJ Envy.
He's like, I got to come off the wall for this one.
Man.
No, I don't even know what I was going to say. That was just so random.
Yeah, that's very random.
Yeah, I completely lost my train of thought when Ghostface jumped off the wall.
No, it's all good. I guess, I've wondered this for a while, why... Mm. You know, Charlamagne, too, when The Breakfast Club came out, I didn't know who Charlamagne was. I didn't know who DJ Envy were.
Wendy Williams gave him his big break.
So I ended up learning more about Charlamagne, but I just never have about Envy. And to Nicole's point in the chat, he has always kind of seemed like a dweeb. I don't know. I mean, he just, even in the confrontations that he always has, at least Charlamagne addresses stuff up front.
He will.
With the people. Envy always seems like he's sly and he's not trying to, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't really care for Envy. I would watch the show.
I've only seen Envy go at one person on the show.
I know what you're going to say.
Who was that?
Jesus Amaro.
Yep. That was it.
Yep.
I never seen him go off on nobody else. Charlamagne always holds his ground. Even though he might walk out the studio and catch a lump, but he holds his ground.
Yeah, he does.
No, that's the thing.
I can at least respect it.
He said something that was, I always respect this. And people ask me, because a lot of people complain about Charlamagne, but he said the wildest thing. He said he got this from Wendy Williams. He said, you can either be, of the industry, or you can be of the people.
Right. Mm.
Part of the reason why Charlamagne is where he is because he will ask the questions to these artists that the people would ask. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care about being friends with these rappers. There are people, when he's honest about some people's music, it is really ruffle feathers. You know, he said Nicki Minaj still doesn't speak to him, but at the same time, he's like, I'm a father of three. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because Nicki Minaj doesn't want to be my friend. It that doesn't really affect my life the same way it would be of somebody who is of the industry.
And actually, now that I think about it, we did if you listen to the show, in our podcast feed, we did a promotion for, it was like a pod, what they called? It was the Justin.
Oh, the one that interviewed Charlamagne?
Yeah, they interviewed Charlamagne. It's on our feed. We did a little co-promotion with them, but it kind of goes deep into him coming up in South Carolina and he talks about Monk's all that Corner. Stuff. So,
I mean, I'm not the...
Yeah, he's made Monk's Corner extremely famous.
100%. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it.
There's no reason for you to
without
know
without him. Yeah, I didn't know anything. But
that's country.
But yeah, outside of all that, I don't care about two guys that are in hip hop that are arguing
about a car show.
Have better cars than I have.
Yeah.
Multiple.
My car's had a tarp on it for the last year and a half. So
look, somebody stole the catalytic converter off my 2003 Acura Coupe.
Damn.
So now I'm like, well, do I really want to finish trying to fix this car?
That is an elite criminal.
Yeah.
So that's an elite criminal.
It's just a criminal. Somebody steal a catalytic converter off of, like, come on, man. What do you, and it, you know how many catalytic converters you got to steal?
To
get enough rhodium and platinum out of them so that somebody would give you some money. You're just a thief.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that was personal. And
you got a little emotional.
But really, you out here stealing. That's like, job.
You know the
like Fat Joe said, innards, get a job.
No, the innards of the catalytic converter and why they would want to steal.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly why they would want it. But it's like, you know how many of these you got to steal to try to even make them? Whatever.
Yeah, they're perverts.
They want to rock right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
not now, but right now.
Get
they
a
want
a job.
Rock. Right now.
This is Republican Jay. Get a job. They did it when I was not available because I want to rock right now, too.
Long I don't know if you want that kind of rock.
Well, no. You know, I'm not going to tell on myself.
Yeah, be careful now.
But,
your eyes got a little big there.
you noticed that too long.
Okay.
Yeah, his eyes did get
catalytic
big.
Converter and a stay in Eskenazi.
Hey.
Wow. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate you all as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe for it. Shout out to our Patreon as well. Take a look at that. That's an option. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.